You're tuned in to Nerd Overload, your weekly show for video games, movies, TV shows, comics, tech news, and more. Now your hosts, Cody Pinnick, Samantha Cross, Sam Dunham, and Josh Harrison. Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Nerd Overload, your favorite pop and geek culture show. I'm Sam.
I'm Josh.
I'm Samantha.
And I'm Cody.
And I have great news for you guys. Spuds McKenzie is back and better than ever.
In ghost form.
In ghost form.
I'm a dog.
Now he's spectral.
Yes.
Spectral McKenzie.
Spooks McKenzie.
Spooks McKenzie. There it is. We have a great show for you. Thank you for tuning in. We have a bunch of news, but first let's get into some things we've been checking out. I have a few things. I actually have watched a couple of TV shows. We can go through them real quick. I watched the show Powerless, which premiered last Thursday.
Oh, we watched that too.
Yeah. What'd you think?
It was awful.
Really? I thought that it can get really good. If they were able to develop the characters anymore. I think the characters were really two-dimensional.
I think they were way over-eager to reference the DC canon way too often. To the point where it was suffocating the rest of the show's plot line.
I tend to agree. I hope they dial that back a little bit, but I think for the first couple episodes, they're going to stick with... Oh, this is DC. This is just like your Arrows and your Flashes. And we said Batman. We're allowed to say Batman.
Oh, they said Bruce Wayne so
like
many
50 times. Yeah.
Every 2 seconds was Bruce Wayne this, Bruce Wayne that.
Yeah. All of the characters seemed really two-dimensional. Vanessa Hudgens' acting was not great.
I thought she was the only character that was likable.
She was likable, but it was that, oh, look at, oh, you know, it was like almost... cartoony,
yeah,
likable, I guess.
Everybody else was like total jerks.
Yeah, that's true. Although that might be the point that I don't know.
But it's not working. I didn't like anyone because they were all just being jerks to each other the whole time.
See, I'm willing to give it a chance. I think.
Well, yeah, I'll watch more than one.
Yeah. Overall, I enjoyed it. Because I think that once they get over the hump of establishing the premise of the show and the setting for the show, and they can actually get into telling the story and having some depth, I think it can be a perfectly fine workplace comedy that just happens to be set in the DC universe.
If that's how they treat it,
yeah,
then it'll work, yeah.
Yeah. It reminded me a lot of the show Better Off Ted. You remember that a couple years ago?
I've never seen that show, but I know it is by the same guy that did Better Off Ted.
It's almost the exact same plot. Better Off Ted was about a guy who was a manpower coordinator at a science lab that built crazy inventions. Sound familiar?
Yeah, so it is the same.
Same thing. Yeah, you just swap in DC Comics characters and change Alan Tudyk for Portia de Rossi. they're the same character. They're jerk bosses. It's kind of the same thing. So that kind of was a knock against it. But I'm willing to give it more of a chance than usual because it's DC and I'm kind of a mark for it. Plus, I swear, I'm pretty sure Danny Pudi is going to end up being Blue Beetle.
That'd be cool. He'd make a good Blue Beetle.
Because his name is Ted in the show and he's an inventor. I just have a feeling that he's going to pop up somewhere.
Oh,
he's
going to start the original Blue Beetle.
Ted Kord. Well, no, not the original Blue Beetle. There was a Blue Beetle before that.
Oh.
Yeah. He was he had super strength powered by the Blue Scarab.
See, I mostly just remember Ted and then the Hispanic kid they've got now.
Oh, Jaime Reyes?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, the original Blue Beetle was a Golden Age, like, Doc Samson character.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Doc Samson or, like, the Phantom.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Legacy heroes.
Yes. But no, I don't know, I enjoyed it. I liked it well enough. I'm willing to give it a shot.
It's not unsalvageable, but
yeah.
I didn't like it.
Okay. The other show that I watched, and stop me if you heard this one, I watched Riverdale. I got about 5 minutes into the second episode, shut it off.
Wow.
Was it that bad?
It's that bad. I don't like it. I don't like what they're doing with the characters. Listen, I understand that they needed to make the show more grounded. They couldn't just do a rip of the Archie comics. They had to make it like grim and serious.
Because, CWE?
Because that's the show that they wanted to tell, but there's just so many things that are wrong and not like, it's hard to describe. Not saying that it was all bad. There are some redeeming qualities. I like the portrayals of Veronica. I think they pretty well nail that character in updating her to modern times and kind of, you know, as a character who had grown up with wealth and is now all of a sudden without and is trying to make a change from being the hoity-toity, like, super elitist, the mean girl character, essentially, and trying to make a change to become...
a person?
A better, I guess, for a lack of better way of describing it. I like that character. I like the way they're doing Betty to an extent where she is over-eager to... she's an overachiever, mostly because her mother is kind of forcing it upon her, like putting, you know, a ton of like parental stress over being the best and the most perfect.
Overbearing,
incredibly overbearing, to the point where they're, and I don't like this, where it is implied that the mother is giving her Adderall in order to keep her super focused and up all the time to be perfect.
Mm.
And that's not cool. I don't care for that too much.
Wasn't that basically the plot of a Save the Bell episode?
Yeah, only yeah. They're stretching this out for the entire, like, yeah.
It's not a very special episode of Riverdale.
No. Although any section, if you were to take any section of this show and place it into another teen drama, it would be the very special episode. I don't like that they're all sophomores in high school. And I'll get to that in a second. But remember, all these characters are 15. Like, the first episode is them starting on their first day of their sophomore year of high school. The choices for Archie are weird. The character, if it weren't Archie and it were just like a Dawson's Creek style show, it would make maybe a little more sense. It's a kid who's trying to be the perfect, you know, good son and good sportsman, play football, but really loves music. That's how they're tying the Archies into the show. I guess in the second episode, the Josie and the Pussycats play a version of Sugar Sugar, which was the Archies.
Yeah, that was their big hit song.
Yeah. And there, if it wasn't Archie, it would maybe work a little better. I don't know why they decided to give 15-year-old Archie like an 8-pack, and he looks like a Marvel superhero, like... Or a CW show, like, super jacked.
He's Captain America.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much, yeah. Which leads to my next problem, and it's a pretty big one. In the show, he has a relationship, or at least had at one point, with a new music teacher, Miss Grundy. And it's really problematic, to say the least. It's gross.
I heard they play it off as, like, a... fun fantasy thing when it's statutory rape.
It is statutory rape, especially when you remember that they're 15 years old and Miss Grundy's like 22 or 23.
Versus being like a much older woman she was in the comics.
Yeah, the choice on that was just weird and
shameless.
Totally unneeded. And I would say that they're playing it off as a fun fantasy, except for the point where Archie basically blackmails Miss Grundy into giving him special music lessons in exchange for not telling everyone that they did the nasty canasta. That's not cool. That's really not cool. And it's probably
not in character for Archie either.
No, not even. I think Archie was probably written the most wildly out of character of everyone on the show, which is a shame because he is the main character of the show. It is kind of his show. The mystery behind Jason Blossom's death is unraveling poorly. It doesn't make any sense. And the first episode had... a lot of people were making comparisons to Twin Peaks about it. There is no supernatural anything based around anything. So I think the murder mystery is going to end up falling on its face. Also, there was some weird implied stuff between Jason and his twin sister, Cheryl, in that first episode, which I guess continues into the second episode, which again...
gross.
Not great. I think one of the biggest problems, is the Miss Grundy thing. That's just the worst. I think what happened was this show was written with all the characters being seniors, having them all be 18. It would make a little more sense, especially the Grundy thing. But at one point during production, I bet you anything, someone said, we're going to make multiple seasons of this. We can't have them all go off to college in the second season. Make them younger. And that's, like I said last week, don't watch this show. Don't watch it. There's only going to be 13 episodes of it. They only ordered a half season to test it out. Don't watch it. Vote with your viewership. It's not good. It's not a guilty pleasure. It's not. And I don't like being negative. I like giving things a chance. Don't watch this show. It's real bad.
It breaks your 3-episode rule.
It does. This absolutely breaks my 3-episode rule. I usually give these kind of shows 3 episodes to get good, or at least passable. And no. The most egregious thing, Jughead has yet to eat a cheeseburger. Hasn't happened.
That's what he does.
That is what he does. And no, not even.
Well, they took the crown off his head, so he's not even really Jughead.
He's wearing a beanie with the spikes, and I can get around that, I guess, if I have to. Like, if taking the crown away and not having cheeseburgers were the worst part of the show, then I would live with it. But there are just there's just so much worse. No thank you.
It sounds like the DC Universe movie version of Archie.
It really is. It really is. And the thing that is mind-boggling about it is the main writer is a guy named Roberto Aguirre-Sacasa, and he is the chief creative officer for Archie Comics and wrote Afterlife with Archie, which is really good. It just doesn't connect. It just doesn't hit for me. It's hitting for a lot of people. A lot of people seem to enjoy it. I hate it, and I'm not going to be going back to it, but that's all I have. It's
probably a lot of people who have no idea anything about Archie, is my guess.
Yeah.
Even then, it doesn't sound good, though.
Yeah, you know, I'm okay with making changes and trying something new with an older property. I'm all for it. Just, they made so many changes and so many changes and such, like,
questionable
weird
changes,
directions. Weird and unnecessary directions. I think that's the biggest thing. It was unneeded. I mean, who was asking for a gritty reboot of Archie on the CW? Like, I don't know.
Clamoring to get more comic book properties.
I guess.
We could talk about The Good Place. That it had its season finale. I was probably a month ago, but still.
Yeah. Yeah, go for it.
I think when we first talked about it on here, we were kind of middle of the road on it.
Mm-hmm.
But it becomes fantastic. It's an amazing show. The writing is really clever in both that it's funny and that it is smart.
Okay. I haven't watched any of it yet. I need to, though. I need to sit down and watch it.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And there's a twist at the end that's good that you can kind of see. I don't know, but it's not a huge surprise, but it's good. It's good writing.
Okay.
It's refreshingly high concept, but it does come around from. I just wanted to say it gets a lot better than what we said initially when we'd watched the first 2 episodes.
Okay. Well, good. Good. I'm glad to hear that.
And it got picked up for a second season, which is good. So
excellent.
Especially with where it left off at the end, because it just big cliffhanger there that I don't want to spoil. But go watch that show. It's a very good show.
Good. Cool.
And it's on Hulu, so, you know, yeah. Check that out.
Yeah. Have you been playing the Fire Emblem Fates iOS
game?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we can all talk about it. Well, Josh, you haven't played it, have you? You should download it. It's free. There's no reason why you shouldn't.
I really have no connection with the Fire Emblem series.
I don't either. Yeah. I know them as Smash Brothers characters. I don't know them as anything else.
I barely know them as Smash Brothers characters.
The same here, because I avoid them because they're just people with swords.
Yeah.
Who cares? But anyway, go ahead.
But yeah, it's a strategy, a mobile strategy tactics game based in the Fire Emblem universe that it's very good. Little bite-sized chunks of the regular Fire Emblem game, little simplified, but not overly so.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a great pickup and play for a couple minutes because the maps are small. I was initially kind of questioning how the maps are just one screen, mm-hmm. but for a mobile game, it works. It makes it more pick up and play. You know, you can get through a map in maybe, 2 or 3 minutes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's perfectly suited for that. The only kind of downside is it's one of those Gashapon games where you get so many of their premium currency that normally costs money, and then you unlock a random character, which, you know, could be a good character, it could be garbage.
It could be three garbage in a row like I did last night. Yeah.
You could draw the same guy three times like I've done.
Yeah.
And the in-app transaction costs are insane. It's way too much money.
Mm-hmm. And you don't get enough of the in-game orbs.
Yeah, the cheapest buy is $2.99, and that gets you three orbs.
But you can't get anything for three orbs.
Yeah.
You have to spend five to get one anime person.
And change.
that's dirty.
It's not great.
Luckily, the game hands them out pretty regularly.
Yeah, fairly regularly. Once you get through all three modes of all the maps... But then by the time you're done with that, you're done with the game. There's nothing else to do.
Well, they add more.
They're going to be adding more?
Yeah, there's a whole paralog menu you can't hit yet with side stories and stuff.
That's true. Yeah, that's true.
And there's the PvP mode that's actually pretty fun, which just lines you up with a random person's team.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like live PvP.
No. That'd be bad if they did live PvP. That'd be weird.
It would be slow. Yes. You'd have to wait for them to make their moves.
Yes.
Fire Emblem's never really had PvP in it anyway.
Yeah.
It's just a gimmick for being an online game or a mobile game.
Well, not really. It's not really a gimmick because part of the game is building your team and making a good team so you can take it into this mode and... You know, you get points every time you win that puts you on a ranking scale that unlock, and at the end of each season, you get a bunch of items for being higher on the rankings than other people.
Yeah.
It's a big part of the game. It's not just an afterthought.
Yeah. All I know is that the characters that fly are like way overpowered, except for archers. Like the archers like knock them out in like one hit.
Oh yeah. Well, that's what they're weak against.
Yeah, true.
Flying takes out, or archers take out flying guys.
Yeah.
I wish there was like one more slot on your team because you can have four people on a team.
Mm-hmm.
And I always feel like I'm cutting something out for something else.
Yeah, I agree.
The art is good and it's varied. There's all kinds of different artists that do the pictures of the characters, and you'd think it would look super discombobulated and jarring, but actually it's just pretty cool.
It's not too bad. Yeah.
Yeah, it's cool to see these characters in different styles.
Yeah, it's almost, I would almost compare it to like Magic card art.
Yeah.
Because it's all in different styles, but it's all close enough to where it meshes well.
Yeah, okay.
And it's all kind of, the different styles are based on like game that the characters come from, I found. Like the Roy art and the there's a horseback spear guy.
Where they're
Jagan.
I think you're talking about Elliewood.
Yeah, no.
Roy's dad.
Oh yeah, but they're same concept though. Their art style is the same because they both came from the same game. Whereas you move on to a newer game and it's a different style of art.
Oh, not necessarily, because really? Arthur and Camilla are from the same game.
Oh, okay,
but they look completely different. Arthur almost has like almost an American comic style to him.
He almost looks like Simon Belmont from Captain N.
Yeah.
I thought, with the big chin.
Which is kind of his character a little bit.
Okay.
He's not self-absorbed, but he's goofy.
Okay. See, I'm coming into this game having almost no like background with...
I've played most of the Fire Emblem games, but not like obsessively, so I don't know half the characters. I know some of the mainline guys and a lot of the recent ones just because I've played them more recently, but I don't know a lot of them.
Yeah.
A lot of them, like, I remember that name, but nothing about this person whatsoever.
Yeah.
Like, it really doesn't matter if you know what Fire Emblem is or not. It's still a good game. It's not going to matter. Hopefully they support it more than they did Mario Run.
Yes.
Hey, Mario Run got that easy mode really recently.
Actually, they added a Golden Goomba event.
Yeah, I saw that.
Where you go play through the same levels you played 1,000 times already to jump on Golden Goombas so you can get a building in Kingdom Builder mode that doesn't do anything.
Oh, boy.
I just been watching stuff. I went back and watched all of Frisky Dingo.
Good show.
Yeah, worth it.
Yeah, I mean, I forgot how old and dated it kind of looks. But there's a lot of like recognizable voices from like various Adult Swim shows and other shows that those guys did, like Archer.
Oh, I'll bet it looks super dated after Archer.
Oh,
because yeah. Archer is a very good looking show.
Yeah.
And they do a lot of great like CG with cars and stuff.
Yeah. No, Frisky just looks bad. Like a lot of the same poses and stuff, just with different lines.
It's very Flash puppety
yes.
looking.
Yes. Yeah.
Like I didn't realize. It took me a minute to realize that. Vanessa, the PR girl that he hires to help him sell his doomsday device, is the same voice that does Pam on Archer. Oh, man.
Pam's like the best character on Archer.
Mm-hmm. I do love Pam.
Yep.
Other than that, I went back and I rewatched all of Samurai Jack.
Good.
All four seasons.
It's a good wow. show.
I love Samurai. I've always been a huge fan of Samurai Jack, and I was getting ready for the new thing that's coming.
Mm-hmm. I need to go back and watch it because I didn't really care for it as a kid, to be completely honest.
There are a lot of Star Wars references. Like, I did not realize how heavy the Star Wars references was. Like, there's an episode in season 4 where Jack loses his memory and the Scotsman is trying to help him get it back. And they full on do the whole Luke and Obi-Wan talking to Han to hire the Millennium Falcon to go to Alderaan. Like, word for word. Like, even the pirate captain of the ship sounds kind of like Harrison Ford.
Sure, yeah. My favorite episode was always, I didn't watch a whole lot of it, but my favorite episode was always the one where the little mobsters hired Jack.
Oh, to steal the gem?
Uh-huh, and they give him a suit and everything.
Yeah. They call him Jackie the Blade.
Jackie the Blade, yeah. Yeah, and Jack just plays along with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The little, was it the anthill mob?
So, yeah, basically. They're kind of.
Yeah, they're just little, like, Capone-esque mobsters that are, like, 2 feet tall.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. It's such a good show.
I need to go back to it, because I think when I was a kid, I was just like, this isn't funny, which is not what it's about. Yeah.
I wasn't really into, like, action shows.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very, very action-based.
Yeah, and now I'll definitely appreciate the animation, which...
Oh yeah, the art style, where there's no, like, outlines, it's all color.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Genndy Tartakovsky, is that his last name?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love his art style.
Oh, yeah. Like, and you go back and you'll watch, like, Foster's and stuff, and it's, like, the same kind of thing.
Dexter's Lab, even more so. Well, that was him, though.
Well, that was him and Craig McCracken.
Yeah, true.
Because eventually, I think, because it was Craig's show.
No.
And Genndy.
No. Dexter was Genndy's show.
Was it?
And Craig worked on it. Yeah.
Yep.
I'm going the wrong way, then. Which way am I going?
The wrong way.
Yeah. I know eventually, Craig obviously drops off of Dexter.
Craig McCracken did a lot of Powerpuff Girls, too, didn't he?
It was his show.
Yeah, Powerpuff was his show. Yeah.
That's right. Yep.
Also, Foster's was his show.
Mm-hmm. I loved Foster's.
Yeah, it was a great show.
Foster's was...
Yeah.
It was a fantastic
Even those cartoon. Later seasons where it got kind of weird, or just not weird, but just not as...
Good.
Good. A lot more, like, standalone episodes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I loved Foster's. It was so good.
A lot of great characters.
Yeah. The movie, The Search for Walt, was great.
I never saw it.
It was super good. You get to meet the people who created the main cast of Monsters... As adults.
Oh, okay.
So you have, like, Eduardo's owner, this Latino girl who was super scared of everything, grew up to become a cop.
Okay.
And Coco's two creators, who are basically Dexter and Mandark.
Yeah.
They don't call themselves that, but it's...
They essentially are.
It's them. And Walt's creator ended up being, like, Michael Jordan. Well, Jordan Michaels, I think, is what they named him.
Well, it's basically makes sense because he's namesaked after Walt Chamberlain.
Wilt Chamberlain.
I'm not a sportsman. I get the reference. I just don't know.
Yeah. Oh, and there was a villainous rival to Walt who was Charles Barkley, but like a basketball man. Yeah, that was really great.
Oh man, I miss Foster's. I should go back and rewatch it.
You should. It's a good show.
But yeah, I went back, watched Jack. Love Jack.
Forgot. Back to the Past.
Yeah.
Watcha! I wonder what they're going to do with Aku. I almost said Akuma. What are they going to do with Aku now that Mako has passed on?
Yeah, I thought about it the other day, and it made me really, really sad.
We should save the news about the...
Yeah.
Yeah, we should. We should.
For later in the show.
Yeah. All right, well, hey, let's go ahead and take a break, and when we come back, we'll talk about some news.
Hey, welcome back to the show. That was Kenny Loggins' Danger Zone. And
Danger Zone!
We played that because Sam and Josh are going to enter their own personal danger zones later in the show.
Later in the show. So stay tuned. Yeah, it's gonna be great. So yeah, let's get into a little bit of news. And starting right off the top of the list, Kate McKinnon has been tapped to voice Miss Frizzle in a Netflix animated reboot of Magic School Bus.
Called Magic School Bus 360.
Yeah.
I guess they're kind of doing an Anderson Cooper thing with it, I guess. But that's perfect casting. She'll make an absolutely great Miss Frizzle.
Yeah.
I'm super excited about it because growing up, I loved the Magic School Bus.
Me too.
Mm-hmm. Like, and I'm really hoping that it keeps to, like, yeah, it's goofy and weird, but you're also learning stuff.
Oh yeah, it'll definitely be educational.
It's gotta be.
It'll be completely losing the focus if it's not educational.
Yeah.
Kind of like how they brought back Reading Rainbow.
Yeah. There was a series of Magic School Bus CD-ROM computer games that, as a kid, that I would just play a ton of, and I learned so much about science from it.
Yeah, that's great.
There was a period of time where I didn't have the best science teacher in the world. I'm not going to call anybody out on this.
Yeah, definitely.
But I still did fantastic in science just because I remembered all the stuff from the Magic School Bus games I played.
And that's a testament to those, to that series, that they were able to, that you're able to retain all of that.
Yeah.
It made learning fun.
Yeah. That's the best kind of learning.
Yes. I had so many of the books. I dare say I probably had almost all of them.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. I had a ton of them too.
You dare say?
I dare say. It's a good series, and I'm glad kids are going to have it again.
Yeah, they're going to need something.
Hopefully they don't make it... Hopefully they don't make it look real weird or something.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping too. I hope they keep it with, you know, pretty,
oh, man,
pretty close.
I really
to the...
hope it's not CG.
I think it is CG. I was about to say I think it's going to be CG, but I hope it doesn't look real weird.
I'll be honest. When I first saw the news that Kate McKinnon was going to be Miss Frizzle, I thought it was going to be live action. And
that'd be,
she would work
yeah, that'd
perfectly
be fine.
With that, too. Yeah, I would be totally down with a live-action Magic School Bus. It could be done.
Put Kate McKinnon in anything and everything. She's fantastic.
She is great. She is really great.
Actually, Bill Nye's coming back on Netflix.
I was going to mention something about that. That looks... Bill Nye saves the world. Yeah.
With his old lab coat.
Mm-hmm. It looks great. That looks cool, too. It looks like it's done in front of a live studio audience, too.
Yeah.
That's... Yeah.
Of all the people who grew up watching Bill Nye.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. But that's really cool.
We need more science content.
We definitely need more science content, for sure. Speaking of Netflix things, I guess there's going to be a Castlevania series on Netflix?
It was just kind of a blurb in it. They did a recent press thing, mm-hmm. and it was just kind of a blurb on that they were having a Castlevania Part 1 in their lineup of original series.
Yeah.
I guess this explains that Nintendo series that was rumored a few months ago.
Yeah, even though it's not really Nintendo, but I think that's what they were talking about.
Probably.
Because it's the people behind it's going to be animated and done by the Frederator guys, I guess, and that's mm-hmm. what they were talking about, even though it's not Nintendo.
Yeah. Now, Frederator, they're the ones that did, like, Fairly Odd Parents and...
Adventure Time
and...
Bravest Warriors.
Mm-hmm.
Basically a vast majority of modern cartoons.
Right. And it's supposed to be, like, not for kids. It's supposed to be, like, super brutal and...
Violent.
Yeah. For those who don't know, Castlevania is basically one family's, like, battle against Dracula.
Yeah.
Over the many, many generations. Started with Simon Belmont, the whip-wielding, like, medieval, like,
warrior guy. The vampire killer.
Yeah.
He's the only one that can stop Dracula every 100 years or whatever.
Yeah, something like that. What I think is interesting is that it's being produced by a guy named Avi Shankar. He was an executive producer on Dread, the Carl Urban...
The amazing
Judge Dredd movie. And also that Power/Rangers spoof... video
that nobody knew was a spoof.
No, it was so well done that nobody thought it was a spoof. They thought it had
Starbuck in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and James Vanderbeek.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that.
As Rocky,
who
ended up being the villain, which is perfect
with his robo leg.
Oh yeah, yeah. But
it's a parody of how Hollywood would treat the Power Rangers, and look what happened.
And surprise, it wasn't actually that far off from what they actually did with Power Rangers. But
Simpsons predicted it.
Yeah. but no, I'm excited for this Castlevania. I think it'll be kind of neat.
Yeah. I love Castlevania. It's a great series.
Hopefully it'll open up the doors to maybe more video game related content that won't be bad.
Well, yeah.
That's the dream.
That's a dream I've been dreaming for a long time.
Yeah.
I think it'll make a better series than that Zelda one they wanted to do would.
Yeah. Well, the biggest problem with that is they would have to have Link talk.
Yeah.
And
there's too much baggage with Zelda. There's too much going on there. Castlevania works much better.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they'll make a new game.
That would be cool.
Or a game that doesn't suck.
I would love to see if they're going to be putting Smash onto the Switch, and I bet they're going to have at least one more update with new characters. They'd have to keep it fresh. I would love to see Simon end up in Smash.
Yeah.
It just seems kind of criminal that they're able to put all these third-party characters into it, and yet this one, who is technically a third-party character but has been there since the inception of Nintendo as a game company, isn't there. It's just kind of weird.
As a video game company.
Yeah. Plus, you would have all of the supporting characters for Captain N, the Game Master, in one game.
Yeah.
And that's pretty cool. I want that.
Wait. What if they bring him out, and then you have Captain N as a Smash character?
Captain N is secretly the giant hands.
He's Master Hand.
Master Hand. Yeah.
Everybody knows this. They're Sakurai's hands.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's, yeah. He's playing with his toys. Well, we're talking about game stuff, kind of. Let's move on to the next topic. E3, which...
the yearly Comic-Con for games, more or less, but it was an industry thing.
It was an industry thing. It's a trade show, and it was always kind of closed off. It was just for reviewers and, well, Twitch people for the last couple of years. They are, for the first time in years, they are opening it up to the public.
First time ever.
Okay. I thought it was open there for a while, a long time ago.
Was it?
I can't help but think it was.
Oh, maybe I'm wrong. I thought it was the first time ever. Maybe not.
I think it's the first time in a decade, maybe.
Either way, they're opening the doors to the public.
Yeah. To the greasy masses.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's becoming more and more like the San Diego Comic-Con of video games.
Yeah.
And that's fine, I guess. Might as well.
A lot of people on my Facebook feed that have been to it in the past and kind of are game writers or game content producers are not thrilled.
Really?
Yeah, because it's already crowded the way it is.
That's true. Yeah, I guess that makes sense. It would be a little more difficult to get around and test everything without having to fight the crowds of just people that are there just to get stuff.
My thing is, basically, wasn't PAX essentially the public video game convention?
That was their goal when the Penny Arcade dudes created it.
Yeah, and it still kind of is, yeah. I guess.
Still going strong. That's not going anywhere anytime soon.
No. I mean, shoot, they have a couple of spinoffs for PAX as well.
Yeah, they're starting a tabletop version of PAX called PAX Unplugged.
That would actually be pretty cool.
But we already have Origins in Gen Con.
Yeah.
Well, there's room for a third.
No, there isn't. There's Midwest is the tabletop. We don't need any more.
There's an anime convention every 2 weeks. I think there can be more than three tabletop ones.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, but how many good anime conventions?
Two.
Yeah. My point made.
To continue on video game type of news. Final Fantasy 15 developers Square Enix were almost sued by Haim Saban, the guy that owns Power Rangers.
This makes me so mad.
There was DLC coming of Magitek suits for the main characters in the game that did have a vague passing resemblance to Power Ranger costumes.
They were multicolored suits that covered their entire body and had visors. Yeah. And the suits, they weren't just costume pieces in the game. They gave you a half hour of increased stats.
Yeah.
And everything. It was basically to get you caught up in the game. If you're at a point where you can't beat it.
It was an easy mode outfit.
Basically, yeah. And they looked really cool. And then Haim Saban saw them and went, hey, those look kind of like Power Rangers. And
these people have lots of money I can take from them.
And everything else that Saban has done with anything that has any passing resemblance to Power Rangers, he attempts to sue them. And it makes me so mad because Haim Saban didn't come up with the idea of Super Sentai.
Yeah.
This is a Japanese game, initially. It's not based on Power Rangers.
Using a Japanese cultural, pop culture reference.
Yeah.
Yeah. The fact that he feels that he can corner the entire market of people in multicolored suits to the point where he will go nuts after anyone who makes any kind of attempt at anything, even parodying that genre, is infuriating.
And it really stinks because there's more than one Sentai show in Japan.
Yeah.
But if anybody tried to have anything similar to it here in America, he'd sue the pants off.
He absolutely would. I've had ideas for shorts on YouTube. I've had ideas for this, that, and the other based on that stuff. And you can't do it because anyone in the Saban, you know, conglomerate, would take one look at it and go, well, sue him. That's ours. That's ours. Can't do it. Even
like Chroma Squad.
Chroma Squad. I was just going to bring up Chroma Squad, which was a game developed down in Brazil where Sentai is like, huge. It's big down there. They got it years before we got it as Power Rangers, and it's really popular down there. So they made a game, a real-time strategy. Was it a real-time strategy?
No, it was turn-based.
Turn-based strategy. That's what I meant.
That doesn't even have a Power Rangers feel. It doesn't even remotely.
And they use the word Sentai a billion times.
About a billion times. Yeah, they never say Power Rangers. And yet, Saban looked at that and said, put my name on there and give me half the money you make off of it, or you can't release the game. So they had to. They had to buckle. Same thing with Final Fantasy, Enix. They buckled. Those suits aren't going to be released any.
Yeah, now they're going to do something else. They're going to change them.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Again, just the fact that one guy feels that he can corner the market off of one concept, and he can get away with it because he's made of money and can just sue.
And the thing is, he doesn't even own the full rights of it.
It's like if Nintendo started suing everybody that made a side-scrolling platform game.
Or anyone who wore red hats.
Yeah.
That would be more like, yeah. Any game that has a character with a red hat, Nintendo would try to sue. That's what this is like.
Hey, that character jumps on things. Sue him.
Yeah. The concept of jumping on enemies. Nope.
Nope. Can't do it. Nope. Just frustrating. Frustrating.
We mentioned Samurai Jack earlier in the show. Oh, we did. We were going to talk about that. So let's talk about that.
Let's talk about that.
They released a trailer for the upcoming new series.
Sort of. It's a limited series where basically they're putting an ending on Samurai Jack.
Yeah.
And this time it's on Adult Swim, and it's not for kids.
Yeah, it's TVMA, because instead of slashing robots, he is slashing people.
And people are slashing him.
Mm-hmm. It looks good.
Yeah, the animation looks incredible.
Yeah.
It's like similar art style, but like technologically amped up and dark.
Yeah.
Very, very dark.
Yeah. It's definitely for the fans of the show that were kids, that grew up with the show. Yeah, that were kids when the show was on.
It's cool to see like action cartoons like age up to its current audience. That's cool.
Yeah, that's very, very cool.
Kind of like what Korra did for Avatar fans, but amped up a lot more.
Yeah. Well, Korra was still for kids, though.
Ish.
This is definitely not.
Yeah.
Nope. The one thing I'm really like, they kind of tease like Aku's laugh a little bit in the show or in the trailer. And I'm like, unfortunately, the voice actor who did Aku passed away a number of years ago.
We mentioned that early in the show. Yeah, Mako. And I wonder how they're going to get around that, whether they got a sound alike or if they're just going to be using clips of previous
Aku's voice.
Because there's a lot of dialogue. Aku was in a lot of those episodes.
Almost every one of them.
Yeah. So they could take the laugh from one episode and take a line from another episode and splice them together and make it work.
Maybe.
Even if he just shows up in the last episode and you just hear traces of him throughout the series, I think that would, think that could work.
He did all the dialogue heavy lifting on that show.
He really did.
Jack didn't really talk.
Not really.
Nope. Philomar had he had lines, but not really.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was as close to a silent protagonist as you can get on an animated
show. There were some episodes in Samurai Jack where Jack doesn't even talk at all.
There are some episodes where there was no dialogue, and that's cool.
Oh man, the one where he fights the ninja.
Yeah.
And then Jack like flips his robes inside out, so he's a white ninja, and the other ninja was a black. And they jump between light and shadow all the time. Mm-hmm. Oh man, that episode was so good.
Yeah. I need to go back and watch this show.
I wonder if they're going to bring back the Scotsman, John DiMaggio.
I think they'd pretty much
I hope so. Yeah.
It better be the last episode.
Because he was the diametrically opposed to what Jack was.
Oh,
a
man.
Super loud with a giant sword and a gun for a leg. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, oh man, he's just rude all the time.
Uh-huh.
Except to Jack.
Yeah.
After they kind of become their best friends or whatever.
Yeah, something like that.
Oh man, when Jack goes to his clan's keep or whatever and has to save the Scotsman's wife.
Mm-hmm.
Oh man. So good.
Yeah.
Like, I'm kind of glad they're putting an ending on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they'll do justice for it.
Yeah, because I haven't seen the original ending, but you've said that it wasn't very strong.
It's not even an ending. The show just stops.
Mm. So yes, hopefully this does the original series justice. The worst thing that could happen is that this new limited series comes out and it's just okay.
Yeah.
Either have it be super bad so everyone can ignore it, or have it be super great so everyone can go, yes, this is the
this
end.
This is it.
Mediocrity is the worst thing that could happen to this thing.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
But I'm excited about it.
Oh yeah, definitely. Okay, so I think the last thing we're going to do is talk about some trailers from and commercials from the Super Bowl. But first, there is a stupid stunt that we're going to do.
You guys are going to try to do something after this?
We're going to go.
Okay.
We have about 10 minutes left into the show, so I think we're going to do this, and we're going to go through this last bit of news with this. This takes a little bit of setup. There is a YouTube channel, or there was a YouTube channel, called Hot Pepper Gaming. Their whole shtick was they would get internet-type celebrities onto their show. They would eat a hot pepper, habanero, or a ghost pepper.
All kinds of nasty stuff.
All that stuff. And then for about 2 or 3 minutes, they would review a video game. The channel ran for about three years, I think. And they got a lot of celebrities on there. And they had their final episode this past week. They've all kind of gone on and to become new things. I think one of them works for Game Grumps now.
Yeah, Vernon.
And Jared writes games. He's a game writer. Huh. And Aaron works for BuzzFeed, I guess. And this is kind of a dumb thing. I never want to get famous with what we're doing. We don't do this show or this web, the online stuff to get famous. I think it's just, we like doing the show and we hope other people like doing the show, but I always thought it would be kind of neat to reach that level where like we would get offered to be on this, because it would seem like we kind of made it, you know, and now it's not going to happen. So in memoriam of Hot Pepper Gaming, Josh and I,
why?
We are going to eat a habanero pepper and do the rest of this show.
Why? Why did I agree?
Hey, man, 2017. More stunts. More dumb things.
Six stunts.
Yeah, six stunts. So,
and here's the thing. I have eaten raw habaneros
before. Oh, I have too.
They're not fun.
No, this is going to ruin my day. All right, you ready?
Oh, man.
Here, cheers.
Tink.
All right, let's do this. Ready?
You get him. Well.
Two. What? One, two, three. Not totally ripe.
Did I mention I'm not new with hot stuff?
Oh, God.
Okay. So, Super Bowl commercials.
I'm not going to make it.
So what kind of trailers did we
Let's see, there was a Pirates of the Caribbean, Don't Put Your Fingers Near Your Eyes. I'm going to tell you right now, that's not a good idea.
It's not a good idea, you're right.
There was a Pirates of the Caribbean trailer.
It was?
Yep, for a movie series that should have died ages ago.
Yeah. Yeah, I think after the third one it was done, now we're on five. Jack's back and he's muddier than ever.
Can I drink my milk yet?
No, we still have 7 minutes. You can. You can wimp out if you want to admit that I am the best and the strongest.
Nope.
Okay.
You have the muscles and the power.
I have the muscles and the power.
I don't do pepper. I don't do hot things. I don't even do hot cheese.
Oh, this is fun. I'm leaking out of every pore on my face. Yeah,
Super Bowl.
Yep.
Super Bowl trailers. there was one for Guardians of the Galaxy 2,
yep.
Which...
Yep.
Oh, it looks good. That one looks fun.
Yep. I like the fact they're including Yondu as an actual member of the team.
Yep, he's a member now. Mantis is a good inclusion. They needed more female characters, I thought.
Yeah. It also looked like Nebula was going to be a member, too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh. Yeah, that's good. That's good. I'm glad they're bringing her back.
Oh. Yeah, she's not
I just burped up a seed. Oh god.
Oh. Oh my god, I think I'm gonna drink this whole gallon of milk and I'm like lactose intolerant.
Oh boy, no. You should have mentioned that before. Oh man.
Oh god, this hurts so bad. All this milk and it's still burning.
Why do we do this? This is so dumb.
The only time it doesn't burn is when I'm drinking the milk.
Uh-huh.
Which does not lead to good radio.
Are you kidding? This is leading to great radio.
Oh, why?
Let's see.
What other trailers were there? There was a Transformers one that was awful.
Boo.
Stop going to see those movies. They're bad movies.
There's a connection to King Arthur. That's the reason it's called The Last Knight.
That's stupid. Was King Arthur a Transformer?
Yes.
Maybe
Excalibur was a Transformer artifact.
That's dumb. That's really stupid.
Mm-hmm.
Please stop going to see these movies so they'll use the money for just literally anything else.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but then what else will Michael Bay do? Someone has to give him a home and adopt him.
Yeah. Oh, God.
You're really getting torn up about Michael Bay.
Well, you know, I'm really emotional about the Transformers franchise.
I just love it so much.
I have milk all over my beard and my microphone.
My mic's going to smell great next week.
Oh, I'm glad I didn't do this.
Yeah.
So this was a bad decision.
Really bad one.
What else we got?
The problem is I keep coughing up seeds and it keeps reigniting my neck.
Yes. Whew. Like my lips... And my gums on the inside of my mouth apparently can't get rid of the oil that's in the pepper.
Oh, yeah, the capsaicin is just lighting me up. Oh,
my nose is on fire.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we're dumb.
We're the dumbest. This is a bad idea, Josh.
Oh, my God.
Oh, there it goes.
Oh, I can't touch my face.
Oh, yeah. This is fun.
Don't do this at home, kids.
Oh, this is dumb. This was a really bad idea.
Yeah. I didn't even watch that much Hot Pepper Gaming. You're a jerk.
Logan looked good.
Oh, yeah. Well, of course, Logan's looked good from the beginning.
Yeah.
It'll be a nice send-off for Hugh Jackman as the character.
Yep.
I think.
We got to see Caliban. I think was the white, the super pale, like, golem-looking guy.
Mm-hmm. Somebody with a robo-arm.
Oh, yeah. He's,
The Winter Soldier.
If my entire being wasn't on fire, I could tell you the name of him. Donald Pierce. Donald Pierce, he is a old school New Mutants villain.
Okay.
Yeah. Kind of repurposed for this movie.
Is it bad that part of me was like kind of hoping it was like Age of Apocalypse Logan with metal arm?
Not at all. I think that would have been really good. It's very clear to me that this movie was the... like it's the end of the bad and like the bad timeline, because at one point the X-Men movie timeline split, much like the Legends of Zelda. There's a good timeline and a bad timeline.
Mm-hmm.
And this is like the end of the bad timeline. So this future,
this is the Ganon gets the Triforce timeline of
this
X-Men.
Yes, exactly. I think once this movie's done, they're done with that timeline, and any X-Men movie that comes out
will be the
after this is the good. The good timeline.
The good timeline
slash
first class timeline.
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
It's calming down, but my mouth is not happy.
Mm-mm.
Like, my lips are burning. I'm surprised my mustache and the other parts of my beard have not singed. I hate peppers. I don't do them. I don't even do banana peppers or green peppers.
Really?
I hate them.
I love banana peppers.
Yeah, I love banana peppers. I love
this guy's a jerk.
You didn't even eat the whole thing.
I ate most of it.
Dude.
Yes, you are the superior pepperman.
I am the superior pepperman. Thank you for admitting it. Live on air.
I will always admit that you are the superior pepperman. I am a big old baby when it comes to peppers. I'm a big old baby when it comes to food, period. I am picky. Like, I love sushi and stuff, but I am a picky boy. I don't even like ranch.
Excuse me.
Ranch dressing?
ranch anything.
Really?
Huh.
You don't like Cool Ranch Doritos?
Nope.
How are you a human?
Yeah.
I'm not.
Everybody likes Cool Ranch Doritos.
Yeah, man.
Nope. Nacho cheese or get out.
No. See, I don't do... I will use nacho cheese Doritos when I'm breading chicken breast. That is really good.
Have you
that
ever had the Doritos, like...
The Doritos Locos Tacos?
No, those are great.
Yeah, everybody likes this.
No, it's a Doritos that you put it in your oven. It's like a breaded triangle with cheese inside it.
Oh, that does sound good. I've never tried it.
They're awful.
Really?
Yeah. I got them when they come out, and they're like they were nasty, yeah. Nasty. I miss 3D Doritos.
Welcome back to Dorito Talk.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Well, this is what happens. We're kind of on the downward slope of Pepperville.
The other trailers weren't.
Well, trailers. We're done with that. Any just general commercials? Were there any standout? We sat and watched all the Super Bowl trailer commercials before we started recording.
Spuds McKenzie.
Yes, Spuds McKenzie. Yeah. He's back. Now, I will say that commercial is misleading. When I start seeing the spectral form of 80s mascot dogs, that is when I stop drinking. That is not a sign for me to drink more.
To party on.
Yeah.
Yeah, he definitely pulled this whole Christmas Carol, go party with your friends shtick.
Yeah, yeah. I think that was probably one of the best ones. The Melissa McCarthy one was pretty cute. It was funny. Yeah,
but it was basically her in every film she's in.
Yeah, cartoony. It was
goofy.
Yeah. I thought the T-Mobile one with Justin Bieber was unneeded.
Nope.
It was super lame.
It was just him trying to be Justin Timberlake.
Yeah, basically. Speaking of Justin Timberlake, I thought it's like a 5-second one with him and Christopher Walken reading NSYNC lines. That was pretty funny.
Yeah, just the look on his face.
Yeah, that was good.
Is it just me or does Christopher Walken's looking real bad? I know he's getting older, but yeah, man.
He's looking a little rough. Yeah.
I feel rough.
My
stomach hurts.
It's okay. We did it, though.
Yeah.
High five. There it is. All right.
I'm shaking. I don't feel good.
Yeah. The adrenaline has kicked in. Like, yeah, once you get...
The flight or fight response.
I think I'm going to go run a mile after this.
I won't. You hate running.
I hate running, and
you
I'm going to go do
every
it.
Day, that, or whatever day you run, you hate running.
I hate it, but I'm going to do it because I got to go. I got to get up and get going.
Go. You have fun out in that winter wonderland.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's go ahead and wrap up. You've been listening to Nerd Overload. Thank you all for tuning in. You can find us each and every day over at nerdoverload.com.
You can also find us pepper-free at facebook.com/nerdoverloadradio.
You can email us at staff@nerdoverload.com.
You can tweet at us at @nerd_overload with all your hottest and spiciest tweets. You can also subscribe to our YouTube channel, Nerd Overload TV, where we'll probably put a video of this whole experience.
We took some video with our phone, yeah. And you can find us on iTunes and Stitcher. And so check us out there. You can find all of our back episodes. Again, thank you all for tuning in, and we will be with you next week. Thanks for listening.
Spicy Pepper out.